Longhorn Nation. He's going for the corner. He's got it. Texas is the foot kicker. The kicker comes through. We're back.
Welcome back to the Fire Tom Herman podcast. I don't have an intro written out for this because we're just sort of going for it. Typically, we wait. We sort of plan out what we're going to say. We'll typically wait until a Tuesday to record this. We are recording this at basically 7 o'clock Central Time on Saturday, immediately after the end of this Texas Tech game, because we feel like there's a lot of things that need to be said, and we really don't want to think about them. We kind of want to shoot from the hip. But Noah, Noah is here. I'm Josh. Hopefully you know that by now. But so, Noah, what the fuck did we just watch?
I don't know. I have no idea what just happened. What happened is we sucked for four and three quarters. We were down 15, 3 minutes to go. Somehow we came back. Dicker pulled off some voodoo magic with an onside kick, score in overtime, win in overtime. But wait, no, you didn't actually win because they overturned the fumble, but then you win again. Just overall, really crazy game. I would say fun game, but that would be a lie.
This would have been a fun game if you weren't a fan of one of the two teams
playing. Yes, exactly.
This game had fucking everything. You went to overtime, 119 points scored total. You had, like, I think four different turnovers. You had two blocked punts. You had us muff a punt that bounced into the end zone. You had two onside kicks. I mean, this game had everything if you were a third-party just fan of college football watching. If you were a fan of Texas or Texas Tech, there would be a double-digit number of times at a minimum where you were ready to shoot yourself in the head watching your football team play.
I was largely miserable over the course of the game. That would be my mood for most of it. I expected a lot more. You know, I really came into this game thinking that we were going to kind of put the beat down on him. I think that we can go ahead and get into probably the biggest complaint that everybody has, and that's just the offensive game planning. You come into a game in which Texas Tech gave up 600 yards passing to Houston Baptist. Houston Baptist absolutely abused them down the field. I think they had like double-digit chunk plays, which are either like 20 or 30-yard passing plays. But the point is they had a bunch of them. And you insist, even whenever it doesn't work, you insist on using a game plan in which you're running and throwing screen passes on first and second down and then relying on Sam Ehlinger to bail you out on third down. And even though Sam is really good and he was able to do that a lot, he's human. He's imperfect. He's definitely had some missed throws. You know, I don't want to come out of this saying that Sam Ehlinger was perfect and it's just everybody else that was the issue, because that just wasn't the case. He had several times where he was the one at fault for like a failed conversion. But far and away, I think the biggest issue has to be the game planning. And you can probably extend that to both sides of the ball.
I think it doesn't bode well for the team when you say the obvious, like, biggest issue that people are going to have, and then it was not the answer I was thinking when you said offensive game planning. Because don't get me wrong, the offensive game planning was dog shit. It was abysmal. There was a point in the game, I think in the third quarter, where supposedly Sam Ehlinger left the field to go to the locker room, probably to use the bathroom. But I felt pretty confident in speculating that he was – to go up to the press box to go kick Mike Yurcich's ass, because the play calling was whack. But for me, the thing I take away from this is that our defense is no better than it was last year. All of this talk about rugby style tackling, we're going to be more sure tackling, we only had single digit missed tackles against UTEP. Turns out apparently UTEP just fucking falls down if you sneeze at them, which is fair because there has been a lot of coronavirus lately and that might be the best way to protect yourself from it. But holy shit, like, I think we had at least, I remember multiple plays where we had three or more missed tackles on that play alone. And I think the worst display of it was what we thought at the time was the backbreaker touchdown, the 75-yard run by Sir Roderick Thompson to seemingly ice the game for Tech. We had that guy wrapped up. We had four Texas jerseys around him. Osai had hands on him at one point. BJ Foster had hands on him at one point. We didn't go back and look and review the tape here, so I don't remember who else was there. But at least four guys put hands on Sir Roderick Thompson on that 75-yard run. That was absolutely backbreaking until it wasn't, apparently. But, I mean, our defense is in a huge problem place. Our offense, everything that we thought we did well against UTEP, we didn't do against Tech. Like you said, Houston Baptist went to town, absolutely lit up Texas Tech last week. And for some reason, we didn't want to throw the ball. We throw the ball 36 times in the game, or in the first half against UTEP. And I mean, I'm not looking at the box score. You said you were pulling it up. I don't know if Sam had 36 attempts.
He had 40. Okay, he had 40 attempts for 262 yards for an average of 6.6 yards per pass. That is bad. Like, you should be above seven, right? Like, generally, I think that above seven means you're at least doing okay in the passing game. But 6.6, and a lot of that came at the end of the game. I know at one point, whenever they put the graphic on the screen, Sam had like 150 yards and 30 passes. He was averaging like five yards per pass, which is just terrible. Like, that's what you expect from like a rookie quarterback or a freshman quarterback that really is struggling, you know? So it felt like the biggest feeling about this game that I had is that we were watching 2019 Texas. Because like you're talking about with the defense, that was obviously just really, really bad and disheartening. So it felt like our defense couldn't get stopped like 2019. It felt like our offensive game plan was really hamstringing the talent that we have there, just like it did at times last year. So I understand that we scored a bunch of points. We obviously were able to get on the scoreboard. We scored 63. You don't give up 56 and win the game if you're not able to score effectively. But the way that we did it and some of the holes that we put ourselves in, it felt like we could have done more. And I think that that's especially true early on. We could have done more like early in the third. Well, the third quarter isn't early, but like, you know what I mean? Been a little bit more consistent. Instead of settling for field goals early on, we could have gotten a touchdown on that drive. I don't know. Again, y'all are gonna have to excuse us because we are doing this right off the top, so we haven't had a chance to rewatch. So we're about as prepared for this game or for this recording as the Texas football team was for their game.
Yeah. I mean, and don't get us wrong, we're gonna go through this, we're gonna talk about all of these bad things, and we're certainly going to miss bad things because there just were so many of them. But talking about stuff that was working. The passing game finally took off in literally the last 3 minutes of the fourth quarter. We suddenly realized, we're like, wait a minute, we have at worst a top five quarterback in the country. And we're like, holy shit, what if we threw it against this team? They gave up 550 yards passing to some nobody for Houston Baptist last week. Let's start throwing the ball. And I know a lot of people are going to say, well, I mean, Tech was in prevent. They're only rushing three guys, dropping some guys into coverage. Just trying
they
to
did
keep
that all game.
In front of them. Yeah, that was the entire second half at an absolute minimum. Like in the deep into the fourth quarter, they were rushing three and getting to Sam Ehlinger, which is a whole other fire Herb Hand thing because Christian Jones was getting torched. Denzel Okafor had an atrocious game. Derek Kerstetter, if he didn't boop that one guy on that one play for the offsides to get that call, that honestly, you could draw a line back and say that saved the game. About the only person who seemingly had an okay game was Cosme, and even he got penalized for a procedural error. So that's like the level of the lack of preparedness on seemingly every level, except for if your name is Cameron Dicker, who is a god and I love you and makes all your field goals and all of your extra points. And
onside kicks.
And onside kicks. Let me just say, we had two onside kicks last year. One of them against LSU, and I don't remember who the other one was against. Might have been TCU? I don't know. But twice, Cameron Dicker last year got to attempt onside kicks. Twice, they played out exactly like that, except in a shocking twist, Malcolm Epps is a better hands team player than Colin Johnson. Like, we were in onside kick recovery by Colin Johnson away from beating LSU at home last year. It was that close. He just barely missed that one. The second onside kick, I'm feeling more and more sure that it was TCU that we did it against, but we should have had that recovery, given us a chance to win the game at the last second there. again, Colin Johnson can't come down with the football. But Malcolm Epps saves the day, just like we all expected coming into this game. I know you had Epps circled as a player to watch. I had Epps circled. Fox had Ezekiel something, and I'm pretty sure that's how they were pronouncing Epps. But, I mean, yeah, everyone who wasn't Cameron Dicker has something that they need to seriously work on in this or after this game. Denzel Okafor needs to run sprints until that guy is like 150 pounds and just a stick of a human being. We need Isaiah Hookfin playing right guard like yesterday. I don't even know where to begin. There were so many issues. And then, like, to just really round it all in here, the refs. I have no fucking clue what they were doing. Reviewing obvious shit. Not reviewing obvious shit. Completely missing on holding calls. Like, any long run, except for that last one, and maybe it was on that last one for Sir Roderick Thompson for the long touchdown. Anytime they got more than about 5 yards on a single rush, chances are it was because they had their left tackle holding the shit out of DeMarvion Overshown, who was literally, like, trying to fall out of the hold to get some attention from the refs. Completely ignored. Multiple missed face mask calls that would have benefited both sides.
Yeah, the game was a mess. It was – the announcers were terrible. I want to give a quick shout-out to the announcers that just – I almost muted the game. I'm not one of those people. I'm not like my grandfather who just mutes everything. But you know, I kind of thought about it for a minute there.
It was one of those games for the commentators where you think about spending hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on a super, super strong, super good, like, home theater system. That way you can just disconnect that front center channel that they map the commentator's voice to. That way you get all the game sound and none of the commentary. It was one of those games where you were on Amazon with a cart full of speaker equipment to drop into your
yeah,
house and improve your game day setup.
Yeah, before I go ahead and check out with that car, I just need to make sure. Go check the schedule, you know, see if we're having that announcing crew again. Because I hope that all the rest of our Fox games are going to be Klatt and Gus Johnson. But, okay, moving past the announcers. I do want to take a moment because I think that something that has to be mentioned is just how much craziness and chaos is going on in this college football season. You know, I mentioned it last week. I think the teams that struggle – they need to have a little bit of forgiveness. There's so much right now that's outside of the players and the coaches' hands. You know, like, no matter how hard you practice, you're still missed all of spring. You still missed two out-of-conference games. I think that the fall practice wasn't even a full fall session, right? So, of course, there are going to be struggles. I think that everybody has a right to complain about this game as Texas fans, but I also think that with that right comes some sort of acknowledgement of what is happening around the country. And I don't just mean with COVID. You look around the country, LSU defending national title. They lost. They just lost against Mississippi State, Oklahoma. You know, we all were on over the moon watching OU lose to Kansas State earlier. So there does need to be at least some sort of acknowledgement of the fact that we didn't let that happen to us. Despite some of our best efforts, we managed to win the game. So we haven't eliminated our goals this early. And some Texas teams in the past have, you know, I don't want to say the M word, but there were some Texas teams that dropped games against Maryland. I see you're a little confused.
Yeah. Part of it was that I misheard what letter you said, and I was I don't think that
No. Okay, yeah, I'm very glad that I clarified that. Maryland. Yeah, we won't. Okay. Yeah, we didn't pull that level of disappointment this early on. You know, the undefeated dream is still alive. You can struggle, and if you win, then it's going to be forgiven eventually, especially if you play better moving forward. And I think that just has to be where the Texas team goes from here. Early season issues haven't really thrown them off before. Obviously, 2018 is probably the best example where everybody stayed locked in and really managed to improve over the course of the year. So that's what we're hoping for now. That has to be the pitch from Herman, right? Post game, moving forward into next practice next week, all the veteran leadership. That has to be kind of the message is, hey, stay focused. We can get better. We're not as good as what we showed. And none of our goals are off the table.
Yeah, we're better than what we brought to Lubbock today. Even though in this very moment, it's really easy to not believe a word of that. Even I don't really believe that I'm saying that. But I thought this win was important just because, I mean, I think I said it in our Discord while we were sort of talking through the game with everyone that we've got in that Discord. But that felt like one of those games where if we lost that, you might as well have just signed the coaching staff's checks and said bye, because there would have been no pulling the team out of that tailspin, that emotional tailspin that this team went through like last year once the wheels came off, especially against TCU. There isn't a bounce back from that. This isn't a disappointing loss to an LSU team that played really well. This was a Tech team that everyone knew was supposed to be bad, and we struggled mightily with them. Despite the fact that we had teams in front of us in the rankings that are going to drop out, and with the turnover of the Big Ten and the Pac-12 and all those teams getting added back in because of them announcing that they're coming back, I would not argue at all if we got dropped into the mid-teens. If we're a top 15 team instead of the top 10 team that we were, even with the losses ahead of us.
Like you said,
this Texas team, we know they can be better than this. Maybe we don't know that on defense, but we know the offense can run better than this. We know Sam can take over a game if he needs to. And I hope that Mike Yurcich got a real sort of rude awakening to the fact that Sam can do that. We saw him do that the last 3 minutes of the game, saw him take it over in overtime, just take command of the offense. I'm hoping Mike Yurcich acknowledges that and starts just let Sam rip it around the field a lot more. Establish early on, get that timing stuff down, get those easy completions, get Sam into that rhythm, and then work the run off of that. I know it's been Herman's philosophy, and maybe Herman had something to do meddling with this game plan, but Herman's philosophy, he wants to be a power running team. But the fact of the matter is, when you have one of the best quarterbacks in college football, you need to make him the focal point of your offensive game plan. I don't care what the strengths are of the other team, and I really don't care if the obvious weakness in the other team is their secondary. Like, you need to establish Sam as a constant presence, have him throw it all over the field, find those holes, find that rhythm, get him going before you start worrying about everything else around him.
Yeah, because this was a pretty mediocre game, I thought, from Sam for his level of play, right? So that still means it's a really good game for any other, for the average quarterback. And so if this is a mediocre game from Sam, then imagine an offense where he was actually like empowered, right? Because it felt like he was hamstring a bit by all the screen passes. I think that we ran I don't know if it was our first, but the first RPO that glaringly stuck out to me was in the middle of the fourth quarter. Then we also ran it for the touchdown in overtime. So I think the single biggest question that the team, especially the offense, needs to answer this week is, what is their identity going to be? Because I think that it's possible to meld together concepts from what Yurcich wants to run, what Herman wants to run. But it feels like this week that's not what we got at all. It did feel like this was Herman's offense and Herman's game plan. And so now the question needs to be, okay, is that what we're going to do? I hope that that's not the answer. I hope that's not what actually happens. Or will we actually commit to running more like open passing concepts that we saw at UTEP and committing to be more of just a straight spread team rather than a power spread? And I mean, the running backs are good. I thought that all of them had their moments. They ran
Sean
well.
Sean had a real bad moment.
Yeah, though. that was really scary. But I thought for the most part, they all ran fine. But if there's nowhere to run, there's only so much you can do as a running back. So, yeah, I kind of second everything that you were saying. Just we need to – unfortunately, there's no more bye week. I think there's one more, but it's not for a couple more weeks. So that gives you 6 days to do some soul searching and figure out what you want to do. Then you've got TCU, who – is going to be probably one of the better defenses that we play this year, right? So we talked about how this would be a tune-up game for the defense. I don't know how to feel about that now, but next week should be a test for the offense, and they've got to figure it out and be ready to play, because TCU looked pretty good in the second half. Their offense was better with Duggan. Defense should be solid, and you don't want to drop a game before OU, because that, with OU losing, that game is really one where you can start to put a stranglehold on the conference.
Definitely. All I can really say coming out of this is this was our, I'm hoping, our meltdown game. I'm hoping this is the meltdown for the year. That's, we had this big meltdown, especially against TCU last year, which is unfortunate given who our next opponent is. But we had that meltdown against TCU. A lot of these similar problems, inability to tackle, absolutely wild game plan. Sam seemed to not be in rhythm the whole time. Had way more turnovers, admittedly. So that was a positive thing. But all I can hope is that we manage to fight through that meltdown game and come out with a win instead of a tailspin creating loss like we had against TCU last year. Like, if we're able to recover and sort of turn this into the, like if we can get to the end of the year and we go, well, this was a sort of a weird outlier, then I wouldn't say it forgives all of it, but it definitely makes it a lot easier to deal with. If this is our worst game of the year, we still came out with a win. And sort of the old adage, bad teams find ways to lose games, good teams find ways to win games. You want to go into every game where you know you've got the opponent outmatched and you want to blow them out every single game. That should be the expectation, and it's absolutely 100% fair to lay into Herman, lay into Hand, lay into Ash, lay into every position group, lay into special teams, because this was absolutely, on like all counts, an atrocious game from this team. One of the sloppiest games I've ever watched. I'm sure it's one of the sloppiest you've ever watched. But if this can be the outlier moving forward, then it's not the end of the world. But it does pose a lot of worrying problems moving forward, especially on the defensive side, I think, because this Chris Ash was supposed to bring in all the new tackling stuff, bring in the new scheme to get more pressure. Things were supposed to be better, and they looked the same, if not worse, as compared to last year. Yursich was supposed to do the same thing on the offensive side of the ball. Things were supposed to open up. It looked the same as it did last year, and at times it looked just as bad as it did in 2017 when Tim Beck was calling everything for himself without Herman holding his hand. So this just needs to be our worst game of the year. This needs to be our TCU game from 2019, our Oklahoma State game from 2018, or one of the several terrible games we played in 2017. That needs to be what this becomes. You need to bubble this one up. You need to take your lessons learned. You need to fix the problems we saw here and make this the outlier, because this can't continue. Heads are going to roll even with the COVID issues. Like, you think the university funds are bad, and I'm sure the boosters are having a rough year, but when it comes to Texas football, those boosters are going to find a way to get that money together to make things happen if they aren't happy, because this is supposed to be for all of us. I think everyone, with the way this year has gone, you want this to be your escape, to not think about the fact that we're in a fucking global pandemic and everything around us is chaos. And that's not to sidestep any of the political stuff that's going on, or the racial injustice things that are going on. And that's not to, again, minimize the player's message or any of that. But this is supposed to be the, like, you get to forget about coronavirus and everything else, and you just get to watch a football game, even if it's a little weird outside that bubble of it. But, yeah, this just needs to be the last game. This needs to be the meltdown game, and everything from here needs to be uphill, because this team, and honestly a lot of this fan base, is not going to survive dealing with games like this all year.
Yeah, and the team is also just – it's – our players are too good to put up with this, right? I think that there's still a lot of talent. I don't think that anybody should doubt our talent level after this game. And I honestly have no idea how you fix the defense. I don't even know at this point what went wrong with the defense, other than we just got whipped up and down the field, and you know, just individually and scheme, there had to have been some major errors on both fronts there. But yeah, pretty much agree. This has got to be the moment where you say, hey, we played a bad game, but we'll build on it and we'll be better. and we all just kind of have to hope that they are. Because there's obviously nothing that you and I can do other than record rapid reaction
right.
podcasts and sit there nearly having a heart attack for, what was that, like 4.5 hours? Like, that was a long game.
Yeah, that was a long-ass game.
But, yeah, now we can just bask in the fact that we're still 2-0. I still think we'll be in the top 10. You know, you look at OU losing, LSU losing. Some teams are going to drop out. I think we'll probably be pretty much where we are now. And then also, you know, enjoy the fact that OU lost. At least we're not Sooners. And we can now say that on multiple fronts.
Right.
In terms of football, yeah. too.
Yep. Yeah. So I guess for the rest of tonight, we're just going to try and sort of relax, watch everyone else play football. I don't know if you're actually going to sit and watch football, but that's probably my plan, is to sit on the couch, probably have some like calm down beers, just watch anybody else play so I can be the third party and not live and die based on every single play call, I feel like, or every single missed tackle, or apparently every single special teams gaffe that we could possibly pull off. I posted it on the podcast Twitter after the game. It's like, never in my life have I ever had a desire to smoke, but after that game, I needed a cigarette in the worst possible way. Just need to sort of come down and, just try and, I don't know. I need to take a shower. Well, there's so many things that I need to do to like recover my self-esteem and everything else about what just happened today.
Yeah. And okay. The really positive spin here is, if you think about it, in the period of about what, five actual like in-game minutes, maybe six or seven, we outscored Tech 21-0 at the end of the game. Like, it's pretty impressive to score 15 points. Actually, yeah, not even 21, 22-0. Oh, my God. To score 15 points in the last 3 minutes of overtime, then come out and win the first period of OT 7-0. So I think that going back, I expect to find more positives once we actually get a chance to do a rewatch, which is, you know, usually the reason that we do a rewatch before recording, because you could see a more clear picture. But I think that there are definitely positives to take away. But there's certainly a lot more negatives than we were hoping.
Yeah, absolutely. I think with that, that'll sort of bring us to the end of this sort of instant reaction episode. I think we'll try and leave these instant reactions for these sort of tight sweat games, or if we lose games, or if there's something that's absolutely eating us up inside where we don't have time to wait. But I think maybe, I mean, sort of spitballing here since this is a new thing, maybe we'll come back with an episode during the week once we have had a chance to talk through it, think about what happened, go back and rewatch, see what went wrong, see if there were sort of like diamonds hidden in there of guys who actually had good games despite everything else going on around them. And also we'd like to hear from you. We kind of forgot to have it all good to go, and we failed to maintain it during the off season. So we have a new phone number for you to call or text for the Fire Tom Herman hot take line. Everything should be set up the same as it was last year. The phone's not going to ring. It's going to go straight to voicemail. But we'd love to hear your guys' opinions on what you saw. And just sort of go from there, see what we just sort of move forward from there, do our usual record on Tuesday after we've gotten the chance to rewatch and think it over and sort of let it all marinate a little bit. Hopefully involve you guys that way. But if you want to call that number or text it, 512-677-4578. Once again, that is a new number. It's not the same number that you had saved in your phone. Number one on speed dial. For last season. So definitely give us a call. We'd love to have you guys be part of the show, get you more involved, sort of get that sort of community engagement going there. So otherwise, I guess we will see you guys later this week. We'll try and record something on Tuesday, a little more normal, review the hot takes that we had, because again, we didn't do any prep work. We don't have a Google Doc up. We didn't do anything for this. So We will see you guys later this week to talk about this with a little bit cooler heads and sort of give a pretty small look ahead and some predictions and stuff for what we think we're going to see against TCU. But until that time, hook 'em.